Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, Yas here, and I just wanted to say it's great to have you join me today because I'm sure we're going to have another fantastic episode. So whether you're here for the first time or if you're one of the repeat loyal listeners of the show, I truly appreciate you. But before we get to today's guest, I just have a small favour to ask, and that's if you could just take a brief moment to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Ensure that you share it with all your coaching friends, and don't forget to get in touch, guys. Let me know your thoughts on what you think of today's episode or any of the recent episodes you've listened to. You can do this on Twitter at The Coaches Net. Once again, that's at The Coaches Net. And please make sure you do, as I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. Anyway, on to today's show. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great day, guys.
The Coaches Network.
Hey, guys. You're now listening to The Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA A-licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy.
Right, guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. My name's Coach Yas, and I've got a very special guest with me today. My guest today is Eben Thomas. Good afternoon, Eben. How's it going, man?
Yeah, all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, man. I'm really looking forward to this. Eben, just before we get into the thick of the conversation, really, maybe just a brief insight around who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there, man.
Yeah, So at the moment, I'm currently the assistant head of academy at Doncaster Rovers and the head of coach development. So in a nutshell, I look after all the coaches within, and I'm partly, and I say that within reason, I'm partly responsible for their development, because I'm a massive believer that everybody should look to go and develop yourself. But in my capacity, I help them get to the next stages. So, yeah, quite a big title, quite a mouthful, but in a nutshell, that's what I do.
Amazing. And I'm sure that, like, there's so many different things that we're going to touch on in the conversation, but let's take you right back to the start of the journey, because talk there about maybe being involved in maybe coach development side of it. And often for many of us, that starts off as by being a coach, right?
Yep.
Learning your experiences, you know, learning your trade and your craft and building your craft rather. So just talk to us a little bit about where your journey started and how that went from coaching to now transitioning to, at this point, coach development.
Yeah, so like most of your listeners, believe it or not, like we've all probably done it, started in grassroots. So I started, actually, if I take it back before then, I got into coaching basically because at the age of 16, back when I was 16, at that time, it was the county or your local leagues. Basically, it was stopped at 16, they had to jump into men's football. So at the time, me and my friends were like, no, we're not about getting kicked around by like 35-year-olds and whatnot. We're only 16. So we decided to join, to start a football team, basically, to go into like a local under-18s league back then. As you can imagine, so all my friends are of like different mixed heritage. None of our parents back then were going to go, yeah, we'll take you for football. It was like, okay, cool, you got a lot, go and do it. So as you do, we all turned up and we're going, right, do you know what? Week 3, week 4, we can't keep on playing five-a-sides. This ain't training. Like, nobody's getting better. So a good friend of mine at the time was like, I was like, do you know what? I'll put on some sessions. Like, it ain't no Pep Guardiola. It ain't Jose Mourinho. A couple of cones down and we'll do some type of training. So back then, a friend of mine, like, oh, the old level one, which is now the UEFA C, was run by my local college. And he's like, oh, look, Ebs, you're doing some coaching. Like, what about this? So I went along basically just to get a few ideas of how do I set a session up for my friends? Because I'm thinking They're my friends, but at the moment, like, I'm not doing too much. So that's the local college at the time ran a course, and it was in conjunction with Charlton Athletic. So Sean Daly, who's now moved on, I went there, learned a bit, and I went, oh, actually, really, really like this. So that sparked off the journey. And then from then, I went on to local grassroots teams. I think my first group was under 10s. Then went and did under 18s. This was back in the Ryman League with Maidstone at the time. Took on a women's team. Anyway, and then went and worked off with Greenhouse. So worked with Greenhouse in their football program, which was working with kids who were deemed as naughty, unworkable, etc., etc.
And they were,
yeah, and in a London in Burgess Park, you can imagine, oh my god, Evan, I can't believe you're working with it. They were just misunderstood. So they saw somebody from their background, and all of a sudden,
a different connection.
You're talking football, right? So when I was like, listen, don't get into line, we ain't playing football. It's a complete, because that's something that they cared about. And then I had an opportunity from there to go and step into Charlton. So Charlton's played a massive role within my development. So I went back into Charlton, and then it was a massive culture shock. They're like, okay, cool. So I was like, yeah. By the way, by this time, I am 25.
Can I just pause you for a second? Because there's so much in what you've already said that's got my mind going, right, well, what about this? What about that? Where did this come from, right? And hopefully we can revisit the conversation on your journey. But I want to take you right back to the start of it really quickly. And you said week three, week four, we can't keep doing five aside. Like, what was it that sparked that thought? Because I guess there's a probably a sense of maturity at such a young age to recognize something like that, because in actual fact, I'm sure you have observed it yourself. A lot of coaches in their earlier years, or even a group of young players who aren't even in coaching, like what sparks a thought for a group of young players to say, hey, we can't keep doing five aside, we need to work on something, so to speak.
So what it was, Yaz, is that my friends were giving up our own time. This was back in the day where we're jumping on three or four buses to get to like a place. Somehow I had sixth form at that. So going into sixth form that time, I don't know how I convinced the local college to basically rent their pitch to us. And I've always had the mentality of, if you're going to do something, try and do it to the best of your ability. So at then I didn't know how to access. I didn't know about no level ones. I didn't know. All I was like, jump on YouTube, see what certain people are doing. But there comes a point when you're like, right, actually, if we're going to do it and we're going to give a good account of ourselves, we're not the finished articles. So I was like, cool, I'll take it upon myself. I was like, look, I'll go and I'll do the research, read, bought books and all sorts. It's not that thirst for knowledge. Like, I'm one of these people in terms of going, let's go and find out about it. And I'm still to that. It was curiosity. It was at the, so young people, you've got a thing in terms of you don't know the pitfalls. So I'm young, I'm hungry, you're not telling me anything about you can't do this, because I'm going, why can't I do it? All right, you tell me I can't do it, watch me go and do it. Dragged my mum into it, because as an adult, you need to have like a club sec and whatnot. So I've dragged my mum into it. Mum, you can do all the admin stuff. So if I've dragged my mum in, I've dragged my friends in, the least I'm looking at is going, okay, cool. Everybody's giving up their free time. Nobody's asked for anything. Do you know what? The least I can do is try and put some structure around So we're legitimate. So we're not just a bunch of kids.
100%. And I guess there's such a high level of awareness there. Because, I mean, to have, you know, I guess just to give you some context as well, obviously, similar to yourself, I work with coaches. I do a lot of coach development work. I'm currently in the process of just starting my doctorate, and I'm exploring coach development thing. And I guess I'm just fascinated by how do we make coaches better, right?
Yeah.
And the question that I keep, I'm really engaged by is, how do we get coaches to basically that mindset that you've just described? How do we get coaches to adopt that mindset from early on? Because for some people, it's not through coaching, not through football that they've picked up that mindset. It might be just through culture. It might be through family dynamics and experiences and observations around that and influences, right? But for others, and the reason why I'm fascinated by it, because the number of times where I might have delivered a course as an example, and let's just say it's over 3, 4, maybe 5 blocks, however many blocks it is, and I usually get towards like the back end of the course and it's like, they're hooked.
Yeah.
And I guess the utopia that I'm trying to chase, if you like, and I'm trying to stumble on is, how do I get you hooked from day one?
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, Yaz? So I personally believe you've got to just fundamentally love the game. I'm talking fundamentally just love the game. And what I've had good role models along the way that I see the enthusiasm in them, but more importantly, it's access. So before I even started my coaching journey, I remember like I wrote to Charlton, and I'm talking back in the days before social media, I must have sent them 50 letters to go, I don't want anything off of you. Tell me a day, tell me a time. I don't care if it's your under nines. I just want to come into the environment and just see what you lot do. I think the letter 48, I then get a response. I've still got the letter. And it was like, hi, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, we see you got your letters. Sorry it's taken us ages to get back to come in. And I was like, oh, do you know what? And I just asked questions. It's that curiosity to go, why do you do what you do? And then when people talk with passion, I don't care who you are, it just rubs off. So I had that initial flicker to go, I'm really interested in this. Then people are like, do you know what? Work hard. This is a pathway, the old level one into level two, da, da, da. But I think what is different is that back then I did it, for me, it wasn't a rush to get from point A to point B.
Do you know what's so fascinating about that? I was just having a conversation recently about coaching journeys and I guess how things have shifted. I've come from a similar time to yourself. And I did my level one, what, 16 years ago now?
Yeah.
Right. And before I eventually moved into kind of academy football and whatnot, probably a good 4 or 5 years of coaching, right? And I guess the conversations that I keep having with a lot of the coaches from our generation, if you like, is I think one of the biggest changes now is we focused, and I'm generalizing, of course, but we focused on becoming better coaches before we thought about the environment we're working in.
Oh, definitely, yes. And a bit like you, I work with younger coaches now. And we'll get onto it, but I've got coaches now, I'm working with coaches like 20, 21, 22, and I'm like, right, so a bit like you, I must have done 8 years in grassroots before, and I'm talking under nines, under 18s, women's team, coaching 2-3 teams. To the point, I remember I had a job, Yaz, that I was like a housing officer. I took a job that I built it around my football. So it's one of those that you could clock in. So basically, we had core hours that you had to be in the office, but you could clock out at 4, but like you could clock in at 8. So I remember, like, I went and picked boys up at the local train station who couldn't get from point A to point B. I'd go to the game, get into my house at sometimes midnight 1, but I factored it to go, right, this day I'm going to leave early, I'm going to use my overtime, I'll get to the game, get back in at 1, sleep until 7, get up at 7, I'll be the first one back in my office to make up my hours. But back then it was part of the process. I was like, right. And I remember sitting down with my mum and my dad, and my dad's a very wise man, and when anything you want ain't going to come easy. So you talk about your home environment, my factors. I had a dad that was like, the only thing I ask of you, whatever you go and do it 100%. Forget about everybody else. You're just letting yourself down if you're not committing to it. So you think I could go back to a home where my dad was like, what, so you're getting up midnight and all you've got to do is get up at 7 to then go into work and whatnot? No. But then I got taught about delayed gratification in terms of don't worry about now. So it's like the oak tree scenario, right? Go and plant a sapling. Understand that it's a 15-year journey. So remember, I started this at 16. I'm 37 now. So when I talk to coach is like, yeah, I didn't get onto my A license or whatever the case might be, right? I went, let me tell you something. The time difference between my B license and my A license was 9 years. 9 years. And that's because I went quite quickly through it.
Mm. But they're trying to get through level one to A license in 9 years.
Exactly. And I'm like, you need to understand, like, it ain't the outcome. Like, the learning is within the journey.
Yeah.
In terms of going, well, actually, okay, well, so how do you work with an under nine? So for me, I've gone and worked with, when people go, yeah, but I need to go work with the 18s, I go work with under nines. When you got an under nine who's 8 year old developmentally, who doesn't want to hear about coaching, whatever, whatever, he or she just wants to kick a ball. For me, I didn't know at the time that improved my communication because I'm not able to stand there for 10 minutes.
Mm.
When I've had the opportunity to go and work in certain first teams at certain levels and I'm working with internationals, I'm then going, wait a minute, I can take some of the stuff I've learned from the under nines because guess what? Although they're internationals, I say they're bigger versions of a 9 year old, i.e., they still love the game, they're still competitive, and they still like Evan, like honestly, like get the score wrong there, they will let you know, type of thing. But then go and work with a female team, and somebody goes, well, why did you go and work with females? Because guess what? You can't scream and shout because women process information differently. So that taught me all of a sudden now. If you're a little bit frustrated, how do you get information across differently? Go and work with hard to reach young men. Again, with the greatest respect to some of your listeners, that like, if you're not from inner London, go and work with some inner London kids.
You're spot on. And I remember speaking to a friend of mine recently about this, and it's like, he's working in academy, but he's moved from one club to another club now recently. And we speak all the time about, you can see the visible difference when you're observing coaches that have had those experiences and those that haven't.
Yeah.
Because the ones that haven't, you can really see the struggle when their message isn't getting approved.
But that's it, yes. But then I go and challenge them. I go and put yourself into uncomfortable situations. I'm at a place now where I'm quite confident you could drop me anywhere in the country, any social, economic background, and I would be able to coach you. And that's not me being of a certain, what to call it, but like I said, you're talking about,
experience.
Yeah, I have coached thousands. And the great thing is now, some of my very first group in academy football are now in the pro game. And just to give you a quick story, like the other day, I've moved up to Doncaster, a player that I had years ago. Like he was like, Ebs. And for me, that's a bigger compliment because he's going, do you remember X, Y, Z? And I'm like, in my head, I'm going, I vaguely remember it. But what I've understood along my journey, forget about your, again, within context, obviously tech, tack and all that lot. I've learned, can I just build a human connection with you first? If the boys or females, whoever you're working with, go, he cares about me, everything else falls into place.
100%, and I say it all the time, like that relationship is the key to unlocking the door to then information being landed, right? And it's almost, and I say this all the time, if the players understand that what you're doing is with a good intent for them as the individual, they will be open to anything you've got to share.
Definitely. But then to link it back to the journey, I wouldn't have been able to do that without the experiences that I've had.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. If you spoke to the 23-year-old, 24-year-old me, although I understood about it ain't a rush between your B license and your A license, I genuinely took the thingy to go, do you know what? I'm going to step away and I'm going to go implement all of this knowledge that I have.
Mm.
I've gone, do you know what? Go work, go down to the south of England. So my football journey taking me everywhere, London, south of England, Wales, the north of England. Although it's all part, they're all subtle differences in the boys that you have. So the boys I currently work with at the moment in Yorkshire, they have like a certain dialect and certain words, and I'm getting my head around it. But ultimately, again, if they're 14-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys are up are the same up and down the country within reason from a developmental point of view and everything else. 13-year-olds, but again, there's subtle differences. But like you said, as a coach, are you able to connect with the individual to be able to go, okay, by the way, are you able to navigate and know? I need to have a laugh and a joke with you because that's what's needed because we're in a high pressure environment. But they need to go, ah, oh, Eben is the person I know I can have a laugh and a joke with. But then they understand and go, this is time to work. But they understand and go, Eben, we have a relationship that I'm comfortable that if he pulls me up on certain something, it's coming from a place of respect.
100%.
And coming from a place of he cares about my development.
100%. And I think it's spot on. And I think that piece of just, you don't have to, even if they don't like what you're saying, they won't get offended by it.
Oh, and again, and that comes down to knowing the individual, right? 100%. So when we talk about knowing the individual, because I've worked across different ages and different genders and everything else, again, going back to like under 14s, I know the ones in my group that need the, right, listen, I can't really have a go at you, but I can have a go at you, but I need to do it on a one-on-one. Because if I do it in front of your peer group, you will see that it's disrespect and I've lost you completely, like whatever I do going on from there. Others are like, nope, da-da-da-da. So when we talk about that, like I say, it's talk about understanding the individual to go, I give you what you need at a time of when you need it. And when so, I've had boys that have gone, Eben, and later on down the year, Eben, thank you for pulling me up. I had one child who's gone to me and go, don't tell me I've had a good game when I know I haven't had a good game. Be big enough as a coach to go, didn't have a great game there, did you? No, I understand. Okay, tell me why. Okay, brilliant. Not to dwell on it, not to make it a big thing, but boys want you to be up front and go, listen, call it for what it is. And like I say, I've learned that's probably been the biggest learning. In between, I would say now, looking back on it, the learning's been the journey in between. So do you know what I mean? So from everything from B license to A license, everything from level one to level two, it has given me the structure to go out into a park, to go out in a cage, to go out in, all of a sudden where I've had to adapt, right? Because let's be honest, I'm fortunate in the environment that I got an Astro, it's half a pitch. But I have coaches or players now that go, I go, give me a quarter, give me a third, give me whatever, we'll make it work. But then again, that comes down to your experiences that is underpinned by the technical knowledge. But then how do you take that knowledge and how do you adapt it? Because I'm lucky that in terms of in the environments that we work with, we work with the top 1%. But I'm quite confident that I can take that information, I can go back into grassroots, and I will adapt it to the audience that I'm working with. Because the 15-year-old is going, but I want to get from here to here. Okay, cool. Who am I to tell you? I call it a dream killer, right? Who am I to tell you can't get there? Come on, then, let's put an action together. I help you, but at the end of the day, it's down to you whether you go implement and do your work.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, and it just reminds me of some conversations I had with parents in the past where they say, "Oh, no, Yas, can you help me with the, you know, help my child with this, or can you help me?" I said, "Look, I can help, yeah, certainly, but there's one thing I can't do, and that's make the kid want it. I can't change that, and if no matter what you say, what I say, nothing's going to change that. That has to come from them, and if that's not there." This isn't going to go anywhere.
And to piggyback off of that, so you asked me what made me, that was the same mentality in terms of, I want to be the best that I can be. Mm-hmm. Where can I go find the information? How do I take the information? But then more importantly, and I think this is probably, it probably doesn't happen so often, I went and sought people who were, who I deemed were the experts in that field.
Mm. That's very interesting because, sorry, what you often find, and I've had this conversation with people all the time, like, when coaches suggest, oh, you know, I want to learn more. I want to you know, observe more coaches. All right, cool. What do you want to observe though? Like, yeah. you need to know what you want to observe. Like, and it's also recognition and acceptance. You're not going to see everything from one person, and you're not going to be able to do everything yourself. And what I mean by that is, like, we're sitting here now as two A-licensed coaches, but how we do that and how we operate will be very, very different. There'll be things that you've got as strengths, things that you've got as areas of development, likewise, as will I. So, like, it's important for coaches maybe listening to this, if they're thinking about where they can go and observe to get more experiences and more understanding, is know what you want to observe first, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think you go on, sorry.
Yeah, no. Where do you want to go? I think something in there is have that honest conversation with yourself. Where are you at the moment? Where are you at the moment? But something, I don't know about you, yes, but I see there's more, the reality is that there's more resources now than when we would have started. So I do a lot of...
It's almost too many.
It's almost too many. But for example, so when I came up, my local, so I lived between, basically I could access the London FA and the Kent FA.
Right, okay.
And I know within the county FAs now, there is some good work going on. But when I speak to coaches outside and I'm going, like you said, right? They go, yeah, but I can't. But have you gone and looked at your local county FA? Because by the way, they are doing some great stuff. The amount of CPD I've put on, right? For coaches, wherever. And I'm going to call people out on this, right? Because people go, yeah, but I want to. But I go, do you know what? Your words tell me one thing, is the actions.
You're spot on. And it just reminds me of, like, because I, like yourself, I put on a lot of CPDs all the time. And the question I always get is, oh, but can you do it on this night instead? Oh, so you want it to be convenient. So you want it to be convenient. So I say to them, okay, right. They go, well, I'm coaching on that night. Okay, cool, fine. I get that. But let me throw you another dilemma. What happens if you attend this one CPD, you miss one session, and the next 20 are even better as a result of attending that one CPD, right? So you've got to look at, you know, the pros and cons. You've got to look at the investment and I guess the reward that comes at the end of it, right? Like, at the end of the day, if you're doing it for the right intentions, yeah, okay, not everyone's going to be happy about the decision to cancel a session, or even, it doesn't even have to be cancelled. You might even ask a parent just to step in and cover the session for the day, if you're working in that type of environment that allows that. But ultimately, it's an investment in yourself, which subsequently will then be an investment in your player's development.
That's it, right? How many times have me and you been inconvenienced when we wanted to go onto a course and it hasn't been, what's called it? People don't know this about me. When I got accepted onto my B license, asked me whether I had the money. By the way, I had a very humbling experience. I had to go to my younger brother, who is 2 years younger than me. And I went, listen, I've been accepted. Ebs, do you know what? Look, here, boom.
Yeah.
Again, so if I were to link that back, right, to like you said, in terms of the coach that we work with and it being convenient. Was that convenient for me in that time? For me to go to a younger brother, by the way. Mm. And I'm going, but he went, no, I'll get, and I repaid that tenfold. But like you say, I look at it and go, like I said, if you were to cancel that one, if it improves you, and then in vice versa goes, improves your practice, your boys won't mind you missing that one training session.
100%. Right?
But I think sometimes...
Parents as well.
And parents. But I think sometimes it's easier to come up with the excuse to go rather than put in the work and then wonder. I say this to coaches all the time. is the ones that don't scream and shout that you've got to be worried about, because the reality is, yes, there are 92 professional football clubs in the Premier League and English Football League. If you take away categories, let's say, for example, every single one of those clubs ran an academy. There are 92 heads of coaching. There are 92 youth development phases. And you're in a country where everybody wants to come in because we are the leading, we're leading like education, and we lead football.
Right? We're seen as innovators, yeah.
So we're seen as innovators. So I say to coach, I go, you're not just up against
people that you know, cities in the country, and other people cities, from other countries.
Other countries. So what are you doing to differentiate yourself?
100%.
And I go to people now and I go, if I go, right, so Yaz wants to go in this direction. Me knowing you, Yaz, and I'm making an assumption here. I'm going, Yaz is looking to go. I know I've got to, I've got areas which I'm looking to improve and develop. Even with you in terms of your CV and everything you've got. I go to coaches now and I go, by the way, you're up against Yaz, who's doing all this extra stuff. You've got to do that as a minimum before you surpass, right? So when you link it back and you go, yeah, do you know what? I can't give up that 3 hours and whatnot. I go, it's up to you, right?
100%.
But then don't come back to me and be like, you didn't get given the opportunity.
Well, I think more specifically, it's know what you're signing up for.
Oh, right,
and the biggest thing I say to young coaches, you know, they ask me, what are some advice on how to progress? I say, if you really want to progress as a coach, don't do anything else.
No.
Don't do anything else, because the problem you're going to have is, unfortunately, we're in an industry that until you get to a certain point, you probably will not be financially rewarded and be acceptable of it. Right, you'll be unhappy with whatever you're getting. So. I'm assuming that it's probably very similar to mine, and we'll come back to your journey in a second. In that, when you first started, especially when you decided that coaching is the route you want to go down, you probably, you know, you alluded to it slightly, but you're probably doing multiple roles concurrently, right? And the idea of that is for coaches now, that's the reality. That's probably what you're going to be doing. You're probably going to have to string together 3, 4, 5 roles just to make sure you make enough money and make your ends meet. However, if you're not prepared for that, this probably ain't the career for you.
And and you've hit the nail on the head, guys, right? There is nothing wrong with that. But like you said, understand what you're signing up for.
Precisely.
Understand that if you like your weekends, this is not the industry for you. it's not the industry for you. Understand. You are going to be working 2-3 nights of a week. The reality is, if you're working with older age groups, you are not walking into your house until gone past 9 o'clock. Understand that if you are working with older age groups, by the way, yeah, and at grassroots, you are not getting onto the Astro until 8:30, 8:45.
Yeah,
and you want to do an hour, then you've got to pack up. Then one of the boys wants to actually go, coach, this is happening and whatnot.
Now you're there for another hour just having conversations.
Yes, I'm telling you now, even when I got into the professional game, last club I was at, Tuesday and Thursday, I would drive 100 miles on a Tuesday, Thursday. Did that for 2.5 years. The earliest I got home on a Tuesday would be 10:15. And I'd been at work at 9. And by the way, at that time, my senior was quite senior. And people are like, but what? And I'm going, the reason you don't hear me moan is because this is what I signed up for, right? Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we said, right? Oh, it goes back to what you said. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And then understanding, cool, there is going to be sacrifice. I always say this, and me and my old man were saying this. He was going, success, Eben, every success will ask you a price. You just got to ask yourself whether you're willing to pay that price. So you want to go and be a professional football coach? Cool. If you want to go be with an academy, the price is you give up your weekends, you give up your evenings. If you're not willing to pay that price, like you said, there's nothing wrong. Cool, but this ain't for you. 100%. Wait a minute, you're saying you want to go and be the Pep Guardiola. You're on the road constantly. You will see more hotels than you will see your own bedroom. Mm. You've got family. We haven't even touched upon family. If you've got a partner, you need to explain to her, or if you're female, him, or whatever, that, by the way, this is the industry that I'm in. I'm very, very blessed that my partner is she's in football as well. So I don't have to have those conversations. But if you think that those things don't affect me still and us, currently I live God knows how many miles away from her. And I have to make sacrifices to go, right, I'll travel back and forth to see you. But that is the price that I've got to pay for where I want to go. Whatever level you want to work at, it's going to be a price.
100%.
So that's the thing. And that's what everyone said to me in terms of the higher you go up, the price tag is just more. And 100%. It's okay.
No, I think that's the thing, right? And I think coming back to, you know, when I started my journey, and probably similar to yours by the sound of it, it was just because we love football. We didn't do it to become coaches. We didn't do it because of any other reason. We just love being around football, right? And I think one of the definite positive things that's come over the years is we've seen such a wide range of roles open up around the game, and coaching doesn't have to be for everyone. And for many people, it's not actually the passion. The passion is the game rather than the function, right? So what I say to coaches a lot of the time is, are you sure you really want this? Because like I said, coming back to that piece of, you need to know what you're signing up for. And especially now where people are becoming even more qualified and almost oversaturated, we're definitely oversaturated with the amount of qualified coaches that we've got now. Going back to even just the 92 club example that you gave. So it's like, well, what's going to be different about you? Because your qualifications are only good enough just to knock on the door, let alone get you in it, right? And then you've got, what is the other stuff? What are the other experiences that you've got? So, you know, if I just listen to the brief a bit about your journey that you've shared so far, it's like, well, there's a wide range of experiences. You've worked with different types of participants and different types of areas and different type of contexts. There's a lot of rich, you know, experience with that. But then the young kid coming out of college thinking, yeah, I want to be a football coach, goes and does his football coaching degree and realises no one cares about that.
No, and the reality is, yes, is we've all got, people have got, there's a lot of technical expertise out there.
Mm.
But for me, learning isn't you go onto a course and you just regurgitate the information. Because it looks different in every single body's environment. For me, I go, learning is going and taking the bits out of the course that you need, sitting down with it and understanding how does that fit within my environment. But then also being humble enough to go, I still don't know everything. Where's my mentors? Where's the people I seek? Even at my stage now, yes, people go, I can't believe you got mentors. I go, what do you mean? I've got like two or three. I'm like, I've got two or three. And by the way, when I talk about mentors, I'm not talking, sometimes it's good to go and get a mentor in a different sport to give you a bit of the understanding to go.
It's another lens.
Another lens, right? Because football is very, very, I call football's in a bubble, right? And sometimes you can get caught up within it. But I've got people that go, oh, have you thought about this? I'm like, do you know what? You're right. I didn't think about that. But the other part of it is being humble enough to go, you're never going to know everything.
Also, just taking it back a step in, you know, if you talk about the courses as an example, like, I often say, you know, whether it's a course, whether it's an interaction or whatever it is with another, you know, person, this, for me, there's three buckets that we sort the information out. We put a filter on and we say, right, where does this information go? There'll be some stuff which fundamentally just doesn't align to you.
Yeah.
Cool. No problem. We just park that. We just put it over there. And there'll be other stuff that you really like the idea of, you want to get your teeth stuck into it, but actually it's probably just not quite right for the environment, the context you're currently working in. So let's park that.
Yeah.
Let's revisit that one later. But then there'll be stuff that you can take away now. And I think the key bit is not to take things and try to be literal with them.
Exactly. I would agree with you.
Because otherwise you end up in a problem, right? And the problem becomes, well, if you try and do it literally and it doesn't work, you don't know how to solve the problem. Whereas if you understand how to, you know, if you understand the intended outcomes for, you know, that action, that approach or whatever it is, that's what's going to help you solve a problem and identify how you go about achieving it. And I remember it just takes me back to my own journey when probably just before I started working academy football, really. I'd actually, similar to yourself, I'd reach out to some clubs and I'd go and observe. And my thing was, I always want to understand what they do in the environment of an academy environment, right? And then later on, I move into academy football. Funnily enough, you know, I used to work at Barnet, and so did I. And when I left Barnet, or rather when I was at Barnet, I would still go and do some study visits at other clubs. And I would often say to myself, right, okay, I'm going to said Cat One club and I'm observing this. What are they trying to do? Why are they doing this? And how can I now do this when I go back into my Category 3 environment without those resources? So it wasn't about the resources. And obviously resources help. But it wasn't about the resources. It was about the intended outcome of the application for those resources, if that makes sense. And trying to understand, right, what are we working towards here? What are we trying to achieve from that? And actually, and I say to coaches all the time, actually, the best experiences, and I don't know about yourself, but the best experiences for me is probably when I've been in a Category 3 academy versus any other, because it's forced me to have to work under-resourced and still achieve certain outcomes, if that makes sense. But also recognizing that, again, going back to what we said earlier about, you know, working with those hard to reach kids, working in those community settings, whatnot. Yeah, but when you put me in front of whoever you put me in front of, I'm all right now because I've dealt with that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is it, right? And I always say to coaches, I go, listen, your cat ones, right? And resources are abundant. I'm going, but if you really want to understand, yeah, it's a bit like you, we've probably done, even though I might have had a particular title, it has humbled me very, very quickly when all of a sudden it's, you're taking a team, you had a game on Thursday, the kit man's off on Friday, and you got a game on Saturday, you've got like one kit between two age groups, and the club looking at you and going, well,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Right?
All of a sudden you become the kit man.
And you become the kit man. Or, do you know what? Minibus driver ain't turned up, you know. And Ebs, we know you, like, your license allows you to drive the minibus. Who am I to, like it? Because, like you say, it builds you. There are so many lessons that you use that when you eventually do move through the categories or you progress within, or even like if you go up in terms of jobs or across the different clubs, you never lose that skill set. But even for me, I'll take it back, yes, because for me now, I'm very, very mindful and I'm very, very aware that within my environment, I get further and further away from grassroots just because of the nature of my job, right? So people go, but why do you ever need to go and still keep touch with grassroots? And I'm like, why would I not want to? I'm not, there's no airs or graces about me to go because of the role that I've got. I'm going, I still need to know because I can learn. Mm-hmm. So every summer when I get the opportunity, I go back home. I put it on X. Like people could go and check it. I put it on X. I'm like, by the way, I'm back home in this area from this date to this date. I would love just to come into somebody's environment. I don't mind taking a session, but more importantly, I want to come learn. My inbox is filled by like, oh my God, Ebs, yeah, we're going to do this and this and this and this. And people go, why? So I remember I went and watched the game and I think I ended up being the linesman. And people are like, but like, what are you doing? And I'm going, you have to understand that, again, when we talk about learning, learning is two ways. Like you say, when I go into the environments, am I picking up everything and everything? No. But there might be something that I'd be like, oh, okay.
But it doesn't always have to be something that you're picking up that's new. Sometimes it could be, do you know what, having this experience, being here today has helped me reinforce some of my existing ideas. And that's good enough.
Yeah. Like you say, and it might just be actually what's going on. What are, again, at my age now, I'm 37. So I'm a little bit removed from the younger generation, as it were. Right, I need to go in and go, what are something as simple as what buzzwords are they using that I might not be?
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Quite used to, because again, within our environment, there's a common language that the boys will come back to you. Actually, what are some of the things in terms of trends that I'm not seeing at academy level here? More importantly, what are the coaches learning that I might need to go, actually, do you know what? That's really, really good. Or what are some of the barriers that you think that you're facing now? Ebs, this, X, Y, and Z. I'm quite lucky in my position now that I'm able to tap into some people in different organizations. But I say all this to basically go, for me, and this applies to any coach at any level, I've always never had a glass ceiling. Like, no one's ever told me, or there's never been, you can only access this. I say, put a barrier in front of me, whether I need to dig up, I need to go underneath it, around it, over it, whichever way is happening, I'm getting that.
Getting it, yeah, 100.
And it's in a respectful way. Like, I understand, but yeah. People's time is thingy. But so when coaches go, so it goes back to your analogy, right? In terms of that coach that says to me, yeah, but I can't make that day. Okay, cool. I get it, right? Things come up. But in a whole season, if you're telling me you've been to like one CPD or what you call it event, in my head, I'm going, you are not serious.
100%. I'm with you on that. Or more importantly, if every time I come to you with an opportunity and you tell me, oh, I can't do that day, eventually I'm going to stop sharing the opportunity with you.
Right. And just to put it into, and just to put it for your listeners, those who are in grassroots effectively, like, the one thing that will shape you out is in terms of mentality. For those that are looking at going, I'm looking to get into academy football, whatever, understand it is another level up in terms of, if you're not seeking out CPD opportunities, you're going to come into an environment where people are going, what? This is my plan. Like, this is what I've got, and this is what I'm going to, and all that lot, right? But then also, I go to coaches and go, if your inner circle, your circle around there is not enabling you and you've got other coaches that are like, it's, do you know what? It's on the other side of London today, you know? Yeah. I think, get yourself into a circle that are going to drive your standards and whatnot.
100%.
I had coaches that I come up with now and scouts and whatnot when we all first started. Ebs, tell me what you're doing. I haven't got anything. Well, why haven't you got anything? I think now they're accountability partners with the new fashion world. But back then, that was just my friends just going.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's important because go back to the mentor piece, right? And I say to coach, look, that whether you call them a mentor, whether you don't call them a mentor, we all need them. And they all provide us different things, right? It's like, I say to people all the time, like, when I'm having a conversation, yes, can you help me with this? So, what is it? It might be, I don't know. My time management, as an example. And I think this is where maybe a lot of coaches go wrong. It's like you go to a senior or more experienced coach to get some guidance and support, assuming that they also have the answers to everything that you're looking for. But actually, that might be an area for them to develop on too. So you need to go to specific people who will offer you specific things, right? So I'll have maybe a mentor similar to yourself, multiple mentors. I might have one that helps you, you know, my career planning, if you like. I might have another one that helps me with developing my technical understanding. I might have another one for this or that. But it's being able to, in some ways, get to a point where actually you can just find someone to hold you accountable. It doesn't have to be anything other than the accountability piece.
And that is what I was going to say, yes. Like, go and seek mentors, but don't think your mentors are going to, is all flowers and rainbows. I've had some really uncomfortable conversations where people are like, yeah, but Eben, this. Was I in my feelings at that time? Of course I was. Nobody likes being told, oh, but you need to improve this and whatnot. But an important, like what you said, the mentors that I have, the reason I have several ones is because what they're mentoring on is that they are a so-called expert. They are an expert within that. So if I've got one for time management, have I done the research to make sure that you're actually really good at time management? If it's one for, I don't know, in terms of forward planning, I need to make sure that you do that. And I've seen, by the way, I've seen evidence of it, right? I haven't taken your word for it, like, because I found that, I don't know about you, yes, but the mentors that I've worked with, they're happy to almost go, hey, this is my credentials there. Like, I think I can help you with this. Good mentors would be like, if you go to them, like you said, oh, you want me to help you in your time management? Do you know what? I'm not the right person, but let me put you in touch with somebody
100%
who is probably, what to call it?
But
I think it's about being, it all comes down to just being humble to allow yourself to go. Listen, people ask me and I go, I am far, far, far from where I think I can be and what I could be. Right. And people look at me and go, what are you talking about? And I go, no, for me personally, there is still growth. And I need people, because what your coach need to understand is this journey, you ain't doing it by yourself.
100%.
You are not doing it by yourself.
Directly or indirectly, like, you know, we were talking obviously before we jumped on here about sometimes the influence we can have on people without even realizing that's the influence we're having. And it's happened to me so many times to the point where it's actually made me a lot more intentional and deliberate around what I communicate, how I communicate, and when I choose to communicate. And I, like, the most common time was, you know, and I spoke about this recently on another podcast I did, that when I first started getting into coach education, like, you know, as we do in this industry, you know, you might not see someone for a few months or a year or something. You bump into them, you end up having a conversation, right? And the conversation would routinely happen. Oh, yes, I'm still thinking about a thing that you said. In my head, I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
But that's it, right? It's about, like you said, it's about, like, listen, like, in terms of, like, so with our coaches and whatnot, classic example, we did something about a high-performing environment. And we spoke about our environment. And by the way, we had other clubs. And I went, by the way, listen, this is open. It's a safe space. Forget I'm the head of coach development for a minute, because I was like, I'm just a facilitator. What do you think? I think I left it and I had loads of messages going, thought-provoking questions. You've made me think about my practice. I'm thinking about this and this and this. Ebs, could we go and have a chat around that? And that's the thing, right, in terms of understanding that as developers, as coaches, you indemnably, like, I am privileged to have worked with people that I've worked with. And if I put my coach's hat on, I'm privileged that I've worked with boys at certain points within your development that for me, it's not just a case of, oh, yeah, well, it is a privilege. And I don't think too many people see it. Like, because somebody once said this and it really hit the nail on the head, right? If you're under nines coach, don't diminish yourself. Because guess what? That player is only going to be an under nine once in their whole entire life. The following season, they are an under 10. You have played a pivotal role because you might be the first coach that they've come into. And we talk about the spark, right? That you might have lit that fire in that kid to go, oh my God, Yaz made me feel this. He made me feel this tall. He made me do this and whatnot. But by the way, you are the under nine coach. Cool. If a boy might not want to come in because developmentally he's 8 years old, do you know what? Stay with dad for a little bit. Here's a football. Go and kick it outside. But understand that when you're ready to come and join in the group, you can come and join in whenever time. I promise you now, you might forget it. In 5 years' time, that boy will come and go, do you remember when I was sitting outside with my dad kicking a ball? You might go, I don't actually. Well, actually, do you know what? I didn't tell you back then because I couldn't articulate it. But that gave me the space in which to be able to tell me that I can come in my own time. And That was the reason why I went. Because remember, in that mind, in that time, if I force you to come in, that's a negative experience.
Yeah.
And guess what? Dad, if you talk to most parents, I'm not a parent. You talk to most parents, I've talked to a lot of them, they go, Ebs, if my son, daughter said to me they don't want to come football, guess what? I'm not bringing them back to football. But that little interaction that you might not see as massive in the moment, that might be that little turning eclipse that the boy comes in and goes, do you know what? So this is why I talk to coaches and go, so understand, right, that you've got to be the best. Don't be in a rush. Everyone's in this. Yeah, I've got to be under 18s and whatnot. People ask me, my partner asked me the other day, she's like, Evan, what's your favourite age group? And I went, do you know what? I don't really have a favourite age group. But if you told me to go and with the 10s, I'd be equally as excited to go and work with 9/10-year-olds. Because guess what? Whichever way you're thinking, I'm having an impact on that child.
Yeah, it's interesting because I often say that, you know, the work that we do as coaches and coach developers, really, and even link back into some of your past work when you talk about, you know, working with greenhouse and stuff, it's nothing other than just people development. We're just using football as a vehicle to do it.
Yeah. And indomitably, it's interesting, right? Because when you talk about coach development and development in general, I'm going, we all do it in some shape or form. Mm. Informally, formally.
Yeah,
You're all doing it. I'm like, you're not telling me when I was a lead youth development phase that I wasn't developing people. I'm not developing kids. I'm not developing people outside of it or whatnot. But it's a continuous circle. Like I go, be open, be willing to try, get things wrong and be guided, but then also, like I said to you, yes, for me is about understand, yes, I know we've all got a goal, we've all got destinations that we want to get to, and I know people might listen to us and go, oh yeah, but yes, Eben, it's easy for you lot are A-licensed coaches, it's da 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 da. And I get it.
We have to do something to get it, though.
But guess what? People think that we just all of a sudden someone went, there you go, there's your A license. Like you said, right? People don't understand and go, no. And I've gone through it succinctly. So I've held every job you can hold. So no one can tell me and go, you wouldn't know what it's like as an FP coach. Mm. Interestingly, I've done that for 8 years. You can't tell me, go, well, you don't know what it's like coaching 13-year-olds. Actually, I might have a little bit of an idea. But what the coaches don't understand is that, like you said, right, we've gone through those trials and tribulations. We've gone through those, go and volunteer for a year and you're not guaranteed to be kept on. I have had, true story, last game of the season, I drove my Corsa. I lived on a hill back at my parents. I drove my Corsa, I swear to you, as I've turned into my road, and my clutch is gone. Luckily, where I was, I could literally just like steer it in and park it up. But clutch is gone. Literally, mechanic went, Ebs, no point repairing it. It'll cost you more than the car. Okay, cool. Right, we'll scrap it and whatnot. And what it is that I want to get across to people is you put the work in, you take the lessons from it. I promise you, it happens, right? Like it happens, but just don't rush the process. Because I think people forget and go, say you started in your 20s. I know coaches who are well into like mid-60s. You're talking about a 40-something year
career
path.
Yeah.
Like, what's the rush?
Yeah, 100%. Like, and then if you look at it, you know, the coaches, I know that we're seeing some anomalies to it in terms of coaches being younger, especially at the top level where many coaches do aspire to get to. Yeah, but those are anomalies.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
The majority of the coaches that become professional football coaches or even managers, it's mid-40s.
But comparison is a thief of joy, right? In terms of my journey and your journey, we're both on the journey, but it's got to look different.
Yeah, do you know what? My wife always talks about just some like random quotes that her grandma used to say to her, right? And one of my favourite ones, as she mentioned, was, don't look left, don't look right, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And it's because as soon as you start doing it, you're missing out on what you could be taking advantage of by looking at what everyone else is doing.
And that's it, right? And sometimes, again, I go, you don't know why that's happening. You haven't had certain opportunities because guess what? If you look back on it, like, sorry, for example, I've missed out on certain opportunities and I'm glad I missed out on certain opportunities. And people might think that's a bit mad, but I go, if I got that, I would not have been ready to undertake what was being asked of me of that time.
Well, sometimes the opportunities you missed out on were going to rob you of something else.
And this is it. And my missus goes, but by the way, understand that you are where you are now because the path that you've landed, like if I'd taken a certain role, I'm not having the experiences that I'm having to go there. But then also, I think people need to understand and go, I have a saying that I go, opportunities will always come at inopportune times.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is something might come up for you and it ain't convenient for you.
100%.
But when is it going to be convenient for you?
It never will be. There will always be a reason why it's not. And I think it goes back to the earlier point we were making. If I use CPD as an example, you mentioned earlier that, you know, maybe the number of CPDs that we've been to individually and it's like, oh, that wasn't worth it. But actually, do you know what? You reconnected with an old friend or you made a new friend. It wasn't even about the content. It was about everything else apart from the content. And I think that's the challenge sometimes with CPD.
But you know what is it? Yes. Like you say, sometimes it's about just getting yourself into a notion to go, do you know what? I'm just going to go to the CPD. I might not get nothing out of it.
And that's it. But the thing is, going there and being managed, it's almost managing your expectations.
But this is it, right? But it's the fact of you're looking at the CPD wrong, because the CPD for you in that present moment in time was actually making time in your diary to go to something intentional. And that's the learning.
Hmm.
The CPD is just the added bits and everything I was talking about. But like you say, I massively believe in terms of like, it's not, people go, oh, so Ebs, would you change anything? Would you do anything different and all that? And I go, honestly, no, because every one of those experiences, every one of those interactions, all of those things, I have it now where, honestly, yes, people have my phone, like I haven't changed my phone number in 20 years. And when we talk about those connections, right? I have coaches that I've had, scouts that I've worked with in previous clubs, and they're ringing me and going, but more importantly, I think it's really important as well that I will ring them and it ain't even about football.
Mm.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
By the way, like, how are things getting on? Da, 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 da. Because again, when we talk about players, right, it's important to go, oh, right, X and Y is ringing me. I know he or she wants something. Actually, I'm just ringing just to see how you are.
You know what? It's really interesting, right? Just reminded me, I remember I must have gone for an interview for a role about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And I had the guys, head of coaching at the club. I didn't get the role. And he goes to me, look, if I'm being honest, he goes, in the end, I didn't give you the role because I didn't want you to have to go through the process of relocating. And I was like, oh, fair enough. Like, you know, really this should have been my decision to make, but
yeah.
I hear it. You know, young family, you don't want to, you know, whatever. Cool. So he calls me that was about 4 years ago. And then he called me about 18 months ago from today. And it was out of the blue. And it was just I saw the missed call and I thought, oh, maybe he's just pocket dialed. It's just, it called me by accident, right? So I've just ignored it. And then the next day I get another call and I'm thinking, oh, actually, he might be trying to get through to me, right? Too much of a coincidence, right? So I pick it up and he goes, the first thing he said, this is what you just reminded me about, because I know we haven't spoken in a little while and I want to start by saying, I don't want anything from you. It goes, often when someone reaches out of the blue, it's often because they want something. I don't want anything from you. I just want to say, well done. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Right. He goes, well done. And it was that, he goes, I know we haven't had a lot of conversations and interactions since we last met, but I've been following your journey and I've been seeing some of the work that you've been doing. And I was like, wow, okay. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because I had a similar call And this was somebody who'd given me a lot of opportunity way back, but I'd actually lost his number. And something like that is like, he didn't even have to say his name because I knew his voice. So I sort of cut him off before he said his name. And he's like, oh, he remembered me. I'm like, how could I not? Like, this isn't, like, for me, relationships are valuable. And then I was like, how could I not? And it, and when you get thanked for something to go, do you know what, really proud of where you've gone and what you're doing and et cetera, et cetera.
Speaks volumes.
He didn't have to do that. Yeah. He didn't have to do that. But then I think you've touched upon something else also, Yaz, in terms of, like, understand that people are going to be watching when you think they're not going to be watching. The amount of times, especially now, with social media and what people put out. So we live in an age now, if I go on LinkedIn and all that other stuff, I see lots and lots and lots of information being put out by coaches, right? And we can get, and that's a different thing. Like some... Right. But I see a lot of stuff, right? And I'm going, interesting, yeah? But then what people don't understand is that, like you just said there about him watching you, like, understand that people are constantly watching you. People are watching, and you won't know. People will look at it and go, okay, so there's a particular coach that I'm following at the moment. He doesn't know that I'm following him.
Do you know what's fascinating about this, right, is that when I got that call, the reason why he called me wasn't even because he observed the stuff I was doing. It's because he was actually mentoring another coach who happens to be, you know, because I must have delivered, basically, I delivered a workshop online, a CPD online, right? There's a whole bunch of people on the call, you know, from like level two coaches right through to pro license coaches. And I think he's mentoring the pro license coach who's been a football league manager and all sorts, right? I didn't even know the guy was on the call. I was just doing me, right? And the reason why this guy called me is because that guy told him, hey, I've just been on a really good workshop with this guy, Yes. And he goes, oh, I know Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what, and he, so it's not just people are watching you, but if you're doing good work, people will let other people know about it.
People will let other people know, people will watch you and whatnot. And I say all of this to say, don't think it's all about on the grass and whatnot. And I'll say to the coaches now, and I go, by the way, when we talk about clubs and whatnot, by the way, clubs will go through your whole social media 10 years back. So it ain't even about, yeah, I put something now. Because in all honesty, Yaz, if I speak to how many coaches and I go, what were you doing 10 years ago? Could you tell me? No. And I say all of this to just tell coaches, like, be mindful, be authentic. But like, it goes back to the piece in terms of, if you're doing it from a genuine place, it will come through. But again, don't be in a rush to be start putting on, I don't know, latest trends and whatever, whatever. Because the reality is that if they come to sit in front of me and you, and that's the reality, they'll come sit in front of me and you in 10, 15 years time, right? Potentially. Guess what? Like, all of a sudden, it only takes you to go, your name rings a bell. Let me do whatever I need to do. Or do you know of so-and-so? Yeah, actually, and everything else. Because that's how I think, yes, football is a very small world.
Yeah,
100%. Football is a very small world and whatnot. And it's one of those in terms of whether it's right, wrong, and different, it ain't going away. Like, we don't live in an ideal world. And it happens in all other industries, right?
100%.
That, guess what? You, like you said, your work, you as a person, you are building a reputation whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you are thinking, very quick story. I got a job off of it one day where a person rang a person. He rang me to say, I'm giving you a glowing reference. Then I got the job the next day. Right? And I was like, it's nice to know that you, it was nice that you knew that I got the job before I knew that I got the job. Right? Now, I've got a particular thought in that, but whether I like it, don't like it, or think of it indifferent, the reality is that that's how football works, right? So, again, what are you doing when you think people are not watching, when you think people are watching, because whether you like it, you are creating a you're creating a personality, you're creating a profile, you're creating something of you that people are going to leave a trace. Whether you put a tweet up, the reality is, whether you think you delete it, it stays on the internet forever. If you're going, oh yeah, this is what Arteta's doing and I think he can do better by this and this, the reality is that you have no context. That's the reality. It's all good. I like to think that I could walk into Man City tomorrow, but I don't know the context of Man City. It's all well and good me thinking, but the reality is, those top managers, you're preparing for 2 or 3 games. Because you might be going Saturday, Champions League Tuesday, to get back on Saturday, and then all of a sudden, if you've got FA, so in my world at this moment in time, for example, under 18s have just played Grimsby in the FA Youth Cup on Monday. They've got a game on Saturday to get through to the Premier League Cup second round. They then go again in midweek. So I've got context. But it's easy for you to go, yeah, but boy, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, with the greatest respects, and I mean this with the greatest respects, the under-10s that you have week to week, it looks very, very different to what the pro game looks like.
Not even just that, but with the greatest respect, you're not me.
Yeah. Or an understanding going, they're operating on a very high level.
That's what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah,
you can't make that decision because you're not even in the position to do it.
And I'm lucky, right? And I'm blessed to have gone and seen. Listen, I've been like everyone before, where we do it as fans, right? Where you go, yeah, da, da, da. I've been blessed to be around for like see first team managers work, and I've done a whole 360 thingy to go, well, I did not even know level of detail, level of preparation, like. The level of like humility. I'm making an assumption based upon a persona that I see on the TV, and that the persona. And now when I talk to you, I go, "Wow, you're nothing like the person I thought you'd be." Yeah, Ebs, I get that a lot. Because in my mind, I've seen you on the TV, I've seen you with that persona, and da, 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 and you get behind it, you go, "Ah." So what have I learned from that? Number one, don't be making assumptions. Find out what the context is, but more importantly, be graceful enough to go, well, although he might be on a losing streak for 15 games, what were the circumstances? What players were injured? Does that make you a bad manager overnight? But actually, what's the catalogue of his work for him to get there? Oh,
what's interesting here, though, we've almost gone full circle, right? Because that all there, what you've just described, that goes back to your first point. Just be curious.
Yeah. And literally, that's it. I wish that there's never a day that comes that I go, yeah, I know it all. Because that's the day that I go, I probably need to step away. Because for me, there is... And I think it's important for people to understand in terms of... Everything I come across, I don't take it for gospel. I don't go, right, I'm going to take that and I'm going to go implement it. It's just an understanding to go. The new one, for example, AI, again, not going to get away from it. It's here. The genie's out of the bottle. But I need to have an understanding of it, right? To go, okay, what are the benefits? What are the mishaps? What are people using it for? What are the trends? What is the governing bodies using it for? Me sitting here to go, yeah, I don't subscribe to it, I don't like it or whatnot. And I think it goes back to what you were saying before, right, in terms of, I go, football is very fluid. And we have a responsibility, I go, as coaches and coach developers, that I go, you need to understand the game. Because whether you like long ball, for example, you might be, I'm a possession-based, play through the thirds, got rapid strikers and whatnot. But guess what? You might come up against a coach that goes, actually, I'm going to play route one because I've got a big number nine. We're going to play off first and second balls. If you don't know that information because you've parked that to my side and go, I don't need to know it because that's not me. How on God's earth are you then going to put a game plan, a game model to counteract that? Because guess what? You might need that because the reality is that, again, if you've got aspirations of going into Yes, I see now academy football. I'm talking the very, very like your cat ones. I see them 13, 14 year olds doing stuff that I've never seen before. Like understanding the concept of fullback rolling in, we'll box it off, we'll keep it this side, we'll punch it, and go out the other side. And I'm going, what? Now, even at my age, it's taking me, I played the game the other day. It took me 10 minutes to understand what the hell the opposition was doing. Because it was just so fluid. I was like, wait a minute. Is that a box? Is that six? Is that the twos rolled into the 10 position? And I'm going back to me going, yeah, Eben, right. Gone are the days where people now are setting up in certain formations because it's fluid. Mm.
It's got to be right, and this is why it's important to understand that the game operates in a specific way. And I always talk about it through the lens of remember the children's book that we're going on a bear hunt.
Yeah.
I that's how I teach football, right? Teach the principles of the game. It's like it's simple. Like we're always on a bear hunt. We're either going to be the obstacle or we're going to be the family looking for the bears, right? Now, the only exception that we have in football is that we can't go under the barrier. We have to go around it or over it. But we can certainly go through it, right? And if we understand that the concept of the game will depend on nothing but the fact that you're trying to either score or stop the goals from being scored, you can't play a certain way. You have to play what's in front of you. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. Right?
And whereas, you know, a lot of coaches that I come across I was going to use a specific word, but I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. But even coaches who work at a certain level, even your Cat 1 coaches and like some of the coaches, I find it astonishing that they don't grasp that concept, that they're so set in play in a certain way. And I get it. You might have an identity. You might have a way in which you want to do things, which aligns to your pathway and aligns to the first team and so on and so forth, if that's the case. But ultimately, you're trying to teach players how to play the game of football and develop them as players. It's not about playing a certain way, because you know as well as I do, you know, you touched on it earlier, you're working with some of the top 1% in the space. But even then, some of them ain't going to be with you. They're not going to be at Doncaster. They might even be playing non-league football by the time you're done with them.
But then going into the coach development space, I tell coaches and go, you might want to play a possession base through the thirds. So what happens 1 year at 15s, you've got a 6'2" striker. He doesn't run in behind. That's not his game. You've got orthodox wingers who are the classic, I get it, I put crosses in. So it doesn't fit how you see football. You have a responsibility to the group to go and maximise their talents and what it gives you. So you're telling me you're going to go play a possession base through the what to call it, where your nine goes, why wouldn't you just play up to nine? Because he goes, listen, play up to me. I'm a hold-up man. I can bring people in. And then you can teach me the other stuff. So what happens then? Coaches go, oh, but... And I'm going, no. In academy football, it ain't first-team football where you can just parachute out players and parachute in others. Like how do you do it? But then it comes back to it, right? In terms of what work have you gone and done to understand the game? To go, if I have this group 1 year and I have a completely different set of makeup the other year, and then I have a different completely set the other year, I'm able to take what I've learned and adapt it to the audience that I'm within.
100%. And I think one of the things I always say to coach, look, just understanding everything, and everything that you say yes to, you're saying no to something.
Mm.
Do you understand what you're saying no to when you say yes to this? And that's the dilemma I put them in, and it's almost like, okay, cool. Like you said, well, I want my team to play this week, yeah, but you got, like you said, the striker, the 6'2", who's great at holding it up. Now what?
I've set a challenge to our coaches in the office. I've put on my tactic board. I've set a particular formation, and I've gone, you're the reds, they're the blues. How do you press against it? Yes, if I was to show you now, I've had 16 different variations of how they press it. And then it's got people going, oh, Ebs, what's the right way and whatnot? I'm like, there's no right way, but I'm like, I'll tell you my opinion after I've got everybody else's opinion. But the reason I say that is because, again, Perception is real, right? People perceive information in a different way and will adapt and go, this is how I will deal with it. The beautiful game of football is there's no right or wrong. There are principles that underline everything, but there's no right or wrong, because once you've got an explanation behind what you're doing and why,
it's context, and, yeah,
right, and it's the context. But what's really interesting is that I've looked at it and I've gone, what do you notice here? And everyone's going, but yeah, we would all press it thingy differently. Now, in my context, that gives me some learning, because I'm going, everybody sees the press differently. So there's some context within that I've probably got to work on.
And that's okay, by the way. And I say to coaches all the time that it's okay to see it differently. However, if we're working together, we need to be aligned on what we are doing.
And that's the next piece, right? But then I go to coaches who are not in my environment and out there. And I go, if I was to go, you've got 5 minutes. Here it is. I'll give you some context. The ball starts here. He's got to play it here. How do you press it? The reality is, again, it might not be in their context now at grassroots or whatnot, but the way that the game is moving, when I go and watch our under-18s, it is so interesting in terms of the seeing the complex tactical nous that is understanding. Because like you said, right, it's a bear hunt. I'm going to do this. Can the opposition work it out? If they work it out, I'm going to do this to try and get the upper hand. And in its very simplest form, for me, I go, football is a fluid game, which is made up of moments and is made up of time of when you're going to be on top and your opponent's going to be on top, irrespective of how dominant you are. How do you navigate those two will 9 times out of 10 determine the outcome. So what does that look like? How does that look like? And you've got a number of factors that come within it. But then it goes back to coaches, right? Where I go to the coaches and go, again, are you curious to go, oh, I thought I knew about 4-4-2. Well, 4-4-2 can be 4-4-2 flat, 4-diamond-2, 4-box-2. What would you do if I...
And if even, I put... even to your earlier point as well, right? Depending on where you are situated or in the world, that 4-4-2 might have a different perception completely.
Right. And that's not even the different nuances on top of that, because you've got people that will go, they'll play a 1-4-1-3, a 1-3, whatever, whatever. And all I'm saying to coaches is I'm going, again, understand, like you said before, right? Where do you want to go? Because if you're saying, my pathway, eventually I want you to lead within the professional game at a certain level, these are some of the things that are being talked about. So how are you going to get ahead of the curve? Or not even ahead of the curve, right? How are you going to understand and learn and go, this is what's currently happening, let me get my head around it.
Yeah.
And for everybody that's potentially going to listen and or listening, I'm not saying that, apart within my development, if you told me about a 4-box-2, a 4-diamond-2, Eben, how are you going to press in that in 4-3-3? I was more than happy to go, do you know what? I know how to do this, but if you were to do this against me, completely flummox me. I don't know how, don't know. We said it earlier in the piece, right? Guess what? I went to somebody who I deemed at that moment in time an expert tactician and literally sat down and literally followed his footsteps. But more importantly, we talk about mentors. So-and-so, listen, I'm struggling with this. Can we sit down? And by the way, this is going to probably be about 6 weeks. Ebs, of course, thanks for coming and talking to me, because not too many people asked me in my opinion on this and whatnot. And true to his word, we sat down and had a period of time for an hour and a half every Tuesday for 6 weeks. And what he taught me there, I've basically gone and gone, he's like, listen, if you take the midfield, he was like, a midfield is either going to play in a 3, a 4, or a 5. Right? Within that, there are different variations of it, but it's like, in context, it's going to be one of those three. So these are the principles that if you play with a 3, if you play with central midfield, if you play with a 3, if you play with a 2, if they box it off and whatnot, but then more importantly to the coach development side, he didn't tell me the answers. We worked on it and guided us both, because he was like, I'm going to teach you how to fish. Because if I fish for you,
you'll always come back to me.
you always come back to me. And I was like, and I'm thankful for that. And I go, when I develop people, I go, I'm not going to give you the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, but then again, right? I'm learning off of different interactions that I have throughout my journey to then go and pass it on to others. But then more importantly, on my journey, I sought the information out and I was eager and I'm like, this is where I want to get to. For me to get to here, I need to be competent at this. I'm having a conversation with myself. Am I competent to that? Nope. Guess what? It's not the end of the story. It's fine. But what are you going to do? You've identified it. You've got self-awareness to go, you're not great there. If you want to get to that level, you need to be competent. If I'm going, you need to be highly proficient. Go and find somebody to help you.
I think it just goes back to the older adage of trying to avoid being the smartest one in the room, right?
Yeah.
And just making sure that you understand as soon as you start to become that, it's not to get up, not to never be there, but spend the least amount of your time being there. And I think that rings true now. And it's mad because it's been a fascinating conversation, by the way. And I'm almost regretting having to bring it to a close shortly, but I'm thinking I'd love to have a part two and just kind of delve in, because we didn't even get past your return to Charlton.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you know, just while we're on that, you know, if there was some coaches listening to this now that were thinking, right, you know, what are some key things that I can take away from everything that's been discussed so far? What would be the one message you'd want to leave behind for them?
Be curious. Be curious. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Be curious. Don't be in a rush. But then also, what are you doing now to prepare yourself for where you want to get to? Right? So, listen, you ain't getting there in 2 years' time. You're not going from grassroots to Premier League manager in 2 years' time. But then understand, what are the requirements for me to be a top-level Premier League coach? And guess what? If you don't know, I think people think that the football community, the one thing that I absolutely love about it is that people are willing to share. Right?
If you ask. And that's one thing that I've definitely learned over the years. And I've always been a firm believer of the idea that if you don't ask, you don't get. But whenever I've asked, genuinely, 9 times out of 10, if I've asked someone for some support, some guidance, I've very rarely been told, nah, can't help you.
And that was the second part of it, right? In terms of if you don't know, go and ask. Listen, like I say, like you said it there, don't ask, you don't get. Like, I haven't got the skill set. I haven't improved certain bits of my skill set by me thinking, yeah, Eben, don't worry. Someone will come and knock on my door and be like, Eben, I understand that tactically you're not quite all right at the moment in time. Come and spend some time with me. No, like, I have to go and knock on people's door and be like, listen, I don't know about this and whatnot, right? So that is the thing with it. And then understand, like, enjoy the hard work. Enjoy the hard work because, and it's going to ask you a price. It's going to ask you a price. And that's the reality of it. Like, I don't want to hear people moaning to be like, because I'll just go, but you wanted this, right?
Yeah.
So don't moan when you got to go put a few weekends in.
Is what it is, man.
Exactly.
Ebs, it's been honestly a fascinating conversation, and it's something that's going to be loads of food for thought as well. And I would really love to jump on a part two and just explore further with you at some point. But no, massive thank you for your time and your participation in the podcast, man.
Listen, really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate it, and definitely ready for part two. Definitely.
Let's make it happen, Ebs. Thanks again, man.
No worries. Speak to you soon.
There you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.